Welcome back to the Hideout. I'm your host, Jimmy speaking. Joining me is my co-host, Sander Blade. What's up, bro?
What? Oh, fuck. Great times.
And joining us is our other co-host, Mr. Shane Smith. How's it going, buddy?
What's up, man? Happy to be back here, as always.
And if you don't know, this is a podcast where we focus on music, video games, and anime, sometimes movies, but we have a wide variety of everything. Me and Zender's done a lot of Kingdom Hearts theories, reviews of video games. Us, along with Mr. Shane here, has done a lot of Into the Pits, which is what's going to be this segment episode, of pitting different bands and different artists into it. So this one is going to be Korn versus Slipknot. I'll be taking the side of Slipknot while Mr. Shane over there will be taking the side of Korn.
Yes. That's the way it's got to be.
The way it's got to be.
Sometimes I really want to lean into it and be like, yeah, dude, Korn's going to fuck you up tonight, bro.
If it was Drake, you would.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure I had a pretty, you know, I had the same energy when we did do Drake, but, that was different. We all kind of felt the same about Drake and just really all felt the same about Kanye, so.
Now I'm here to moderate and put in my two pieces because I'm not too sure if I'll be here for the whole thing. So go ahead, guys. Have fun.
So starting it all, Mr. Shane, would you like to take it away with Korn?
Yeah, I suppose I'll take it away with Korn. Look, I know a lot about Korn. I'm not a devout Korn fan, but I do know that these are great two bands to put against each other. For one, we'll just start with a little bit of a bio. Korn is an American nu metal band from Bakersfield, California, formed in 1993. That's crazy. That's the year after I was born. And let's see. The band is notable for pioneering the nu metal genre and bringing it into the mainstream. I mean, honestly, like, even if, like, I think of, like, modern day nu metal, I don't think of Korn. But just by hearing the term nu metal, I think of Korn. Because, yeah, like, you just picture somebody who's like a devout nu metal listener, they're probably going to listen to Korn, or like they're probably going to look like someone. Yeah, bro, I listen to nu metal, and they look like they would be a member of Korn, probably.
What?
I don't know. Like I was gonna say, like, they look like they're like steampunk hippies or something, but not really. It's just they have dreads.
That is an odd mix. They're weird. Okay. Well, goddamn.
They're weird. These are like weird looking. Like the guys in Korn all kind of look like incels.
Like, what?
Like, listen, I'm telling you, they kind of look like they sit on their computers at all times. Like this picture, the very first picture, you type in Korn on the internet, their vocalist looks like he would be in prison for things that involve minors.
No. These dudes came out before incels was a thing. I mean, like, nu metal dress was the...
I'm not saying that they are.
You could say that they look like school shooters.
Okay, okay. Time.
Like, you can go into that if you wanted to.
Like, they definitely...
Like, the weird kid sitting in the back of the classroom who, you know, whatever, who has a long trench coat.
I was about to say, they look like they'd be in a Rob Zombie music video, but chances are at some point they were.
Probably were. They pioneered the video.
But nonetheless...
But I get that they were like the, well, I guess a lot of the fan base were kind of like the try hard emos of their day.
Yeah,
like they wore black and they're like, yeah, man, fuck everybody, everyone fucking sucks.
Yeah, but they're like tough guys. You like never see them laugh unless it's like from someone smaller than them falling on a skateboard or something.
Probably.
But just to point it out, yeah, I mean, incels was like quick go to, but I mean, that's not necessarily a problem.
You gotta leave incels alone for a little bit, bro.
Yeah, I know. I'll be going in. Okay, some of their biggest songs were "Freak on a Leash," "Falling Away from Me," "Twisted Transistor." I remember that song. The music video was sick as hell. It had, I think, maybe Snoop Dogg. It had a couple of different rappers.
It was Lil Jon.
Lil Jon, that's right. Lil Jon and a couple of other guys. I don't remember who all it was, but that music video was great. It was definitely. Oh yeah, let's see. Exhibit. Hey, it is Snoop Dogg. It looks like maybe David Banner.
Damn, everybody was in it.
That's amazing. And basically, they played as Korn, if that makes sense. Like, they just did what Korn did, and Korn did what they did. But they also, you know, they did that Word Up cover that was really popular. Yeah. And they've got that song, I'm Coming Undone.
Yeah, it was a badass song. Undone. Yeah. That was a good song. They also did the entire Queen of the Damned soundtrack, I think, along with Chester Bennington, too.
Yeah, Bennington. But
yeah, Bennington. Oh, shit, sorry.
I'm sorry. I know. I'm sorry. Okay. Look, looks like they actually put out a song called Y'all Want a Single. So I imagine that that's probably like them trying to be Limp Bizkit for 35 minutes. But I don't know. I could be wrong. But they got a bunch of really popular songs, especially if you're older than if you were born after the year or before the year, like 98, you probably have heard some Korn music. But you know, for that being said, they also have had a fair share of like different experiences with like ups and down, trivial trials and battles, drug addiction, alcohol addiction, coming in and out of it, all that good stuff. Look, this band is one of the bands that we would compare are a prime original, like thoroughbred Hot Topic band, like some of the original class of Hot Topic bands, if that makes sense.
I mean, they're a little bit older than Hot Topic, though.
Sure, but I'm just saying that.
Yeah, but the moral of the story is, when you walked into Hot Topic, you saw
they would have Korn.
Yeah, like how they dress was Hot Topic like stuff. So
new age goth
bands, like punk bands goth. Like Korn and System of a Down and Disturbed.
Slipknot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Those bands are the reason why a store like Hot Topic could exist.
Exactly.
In the beginning is what I'm saying. Not today. Obviously, Hot Topic is like should be like pink and green and be like, yeah, Hot Topic. We've got Drake's latest record. Like, look, wow. I love Drake just as much as the next guy. But when you 10% of your store is Drake, so come on.
They sold out. This is what you're saying. Well, I guess they sold out to begin with. But
it's like sold out of your morning. You know, you could also get a Slayer shirt in there. It's like, of course, you know, AC/DC or some shit.
Yeah, they ain't gonna know. CBGB.
Now you can go pick up your latest anime franchise from them, too. So,
yeah
they're trying to everything and anything.
They've got
get on board with everything, like a Spencer. Yeah.
A real life display of that guy who's a vocalist of that band falling in reverse. They just keep one in there. It's like every couple of months they change it up, but it's the same guy. It's like, no, they didn't drop an album.
Poor Ronnie. Poor Ronnie.
I mean, we say poor him. How much money do you think that guy's worth?
Yeah, right now.
I bet that guy's probably worth a lot of gosh damn money. There's people who don't even listen to that, like that's like Hot Topic music, for example, that know who that guy is. Like, I don't understand. He's so famous.
All I know is the situations are relevant now. That's the only thing I know.
Well, see, he was, talk a little about Ronnie real quick. Because in Escape the Fate, then he moved over to Fallen in Reverse.
Okay, so, I didn't know he was in Escape. Maybe I thought
it was the same damn band.
No, he got off of drugs and formed, which is bad, but formed Escape the Fate, which I like Escape the Fate. I'm not going to lie. Some of their music is cringe and some of the music is great. He can rap, he can scream, he can sing. So
it's kind of like emo fuckboy music.
Kind of, sort of, in a way.
It's all fuckboy music.
But yeah, I never really listened to Fall in Reverse that much. The only time I know that they were on NA Hot Topic one time when I was in there. I swear.
Yeah.
I would look up their newer stuff if you want to listen to him. He does a lot of rapping in it, and it's really not that bad.
Yeah,
like, I'll let Alex listen to some of it before, and he was like, oh.
Franz does a little bit of rapping, surprised. Too. And I don't Franz from Attila, and I hate that guy a lot as well. But
Korn.
But anyway, their bass player got pretty popular. He went and did like Christian music for a little while, or more, you know, positive types of music. He performed at that music festival that we used to go to, Cornerstone Music Festival. And he was like a headliner. So like he was pretty big in that world as well. But I'm sure that comes from the sake of having the testimony that he had and being the bass player of Korn. You know what I'm saying? Like obviously a fairly influential person, especially when you tack on that whole, like, we used to talk about like, could you imagine what it would be like if Lil Wayne came out and was just like, I am a devout Christian. Like I'm turning away from like all of these things, like how influential that would be. But then like Kanye did
like,
it.
Dude, that's like half your damn thing. I don't know if you're going to make it.
yeah, exactly. Like they don't have lean in heaven. So, but no, I don't know. So anyway, but eventually that guy, I guess they made it to where it was like, it would work out and he ended up getting back with the band, but supposedly he's still like on the straight and narrow. He wasn't with the band for like a handful of years.
I know it was one member of the band that it was back when they were at their peak, or when they say when they were really popular. He was addicted to drugs, alcohol, and everything under the sun. I know the cops showed up one time to his house and arrested him for noise complaints, and he said that right there woke him up and saved his life.
Damn, that's crazy!
Wow. Mm-hmm.
That's probably Brian Head Welch. That's probably the guy that we're talking about here. I could be wrong, but, and I do know that like I've seen somewhere recently where it was like, oh boy, their vocalist was talking, or he had like done an interview. Cause I think one of the members, maybe the guitarist, is leaving the band for an indefinite amount of time. I think because the new standard in the band is you have to be sober. So I'm pretty sure
he's like, shit, I'm out of here, bro.
Yeah, well, I don't think he was leaving because that was the new rule, but it was because like maybe like he relapsed or he couldn't, you know, stay clean. Whether it be alcohol or drugs, there's no telling. It could be like they're like, hey, you can't do heroin anymore. Like, you know, like it could be like, hey, we can't have you banging Fent in the bus anymore. Like so it could be anything like that, or it could be, you know, like, hey, look, we're not doing as much as smoking a fucking cigarette, you know, like we don't do any of that shit anymore, we're all grown. Because to be fair, you would think that I don't think that they're going to be just running through dope, drugs and girls and alcohol the same way that they were probably when they first started.
Them dudes is like close to our age.
No, bro, they're older than us. What you talking about?
Yeah, I mean, they were close to our age back when then. They were like in the fucking, I don't know, like early 2000s. So yeah, like they way like, old. I don't think their hearts could take it.
If they were banging out and doing drugs and getting like trashed, party animal, real rock star lifestyle shit back then, there's no way they could still be doing it now. Hell and no. Still be playing music.
Them dudes got to be in their 50s now.
Yeah, that's like for sure. Most of the time, those people end up sobering up. You know, like, and they're like, yeah, well, now we just tour like, you know, 2 months out of the year probably and do festivals, and we're in the best, best peak physical shape of our lives. And they have like other like professions at this point, like doing things like in studios and production, or, you know, something, or a fucking vineyard or something like that. Those guys are probably still millionaires off of the money they made back then. So with that being said, Korn did go on later on to end up making like I'm pretty sure it was almost like an entire, they got with all these different like dubstep and like electronic artists, and they did an album with them. And some of those songs on there were kind of corny and whack, because to be fair, there are some things that, you know, will probably come up in this debate that, you know, we'll point out how negative and corny some of the things that Korn does, no pun intended. But you know, the dubstep songs went pretty hard. There were a few of them on there where you're like, god damn, like how does this slap so hard? Like I'm talking about just like it makes you wish your hair was down to your ass and you could just da, 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 da. They have one thing, it's like, shut the fuck up, get up, dun, dun, dun.
Oh
shut
yeah,
the fuck up, get up. And it was like metal, like heavy ass metal music, and it's like the just the fucking like the distortion on the bass, like the guitars, everything about it is just like some of the heaviest shit you've ever heard in your life, and just driving, just powerful sounding shit. But you know, it is what it is. It's still Korn. It's ironically enough, it was Korn with a little bit of love from all this newer class of people that know more about what people want from headbanging and shit. So not to say that Korn doesn't still make great music, but in the later years, their music just got weirder and it got harder to listen to. So if you were the kind of person, if you were the kind of person who was super into that back in the day, like there's people who love Korn, like people love Tool, you know, like, and if you find someone who likes, if you find somebody who likes Tool, they love Tool. They, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're like, oh my God, Tool is like the best band in the world. Same thing with like Dream Theater. Like, these people have to be dedicated to those bands because it's so, to me, taxing. To me, it seems like it's so taxing to listen to
Tool and Perfect Circle, which I guess is headed by the same dude.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that they were some of the like most celebrated bands of their time. So we aren't, you know, we talking about legends, but it is one of those situations where they are firmly dated to their time, I guess.
Right.
Like, new metal was starting to get kind of made fun of after a good minute. I think like maybe 2008 or something. But see, then again, you got to think like,
and it's coming back now.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, it's like it was made fun of by, I guess, essentially the people who now are using it to bring it back. So I was like, shit.
Yeah.
And I think it's fair to say that it has come back because it's already pretty well integrated, especially into our, like, just say metal music in general.
Yeah.
When you listen to metal, that doo 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 ding 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 that groovy shit, that is all
that groove.
Yes. All that groove, that da da and that riffing on the you know, whatever, a lot of that band started getting into that. I mean,
just beating the hell out the bass.
Really? I mean, that came back like probably 2012, 2013. A lot of people started doing that shit. And it came in with hardcore and music band, hardcore and metal bands.
Right.
And it's pretty well integrated now. I don't think that it's going to come back to the degree where it's like I don't think that it's possible because music is so broad and so accessible now. I don't think you'll ever be able to have a movement such as what was with bands like Korn and Disturbed and Linkin Park. These bands were like massive bands. Like, I don't know if you're familiar with, and even Limp Bizkit, as much as to all the, what's the word I'm looking for? The vitriol shot their way.
Yeah. I mean, I think in all honesty, I kind of feel like Limp Bizkit was the one that everybody picked on the most. And because of him, it kind of like just drug it all down. Like, right. Everyone looks at him as being the main domino effect that screwed up new metal. Yeah. And I mean, in all honesty, it wasn't that bad. I mean, he was good for a time, like, but he was way dated.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you even did you see where kind of they made a resurgence in this past year and they were performing at like Lollapalooza.
Remember, he came back with Wayne. It was actually pretty cool.
Yeah, that was tight. And I mean, they stayed making music, but like this, most recently they put out a single. But like, look, he dressed up and was taking pictures, and it was Fred Durst as like an old man, and he was like doing all these festivals for like the whole like 6 month period, and he's dressed up as this old man, and it's like a gimmick, like on Instagram and everything, and he doesn't even look like Fred Durst, like at all. But it's kind of awesome.
Fred looked pretty damn old when he came out at first, bro.
Yeah,
like I said, it ain't like the difference, I think, between like the new metal and, you know, bands back in the 90s versus like bands and I guess maybe our time or whatever, is that a lot of them dudes was like in their damn mid-20s when they first started out. You know, this wasn't like Asking Alexandria where the dudes was like, we're 16 years old and we're going on tour, guys. Like, these dudes were grown.
Right.
Most of these dudes were grown.
Just to harp on it, like
Fred Durst was like, he was 30 when he came out.
The music industry was incredibly different in that, especially in that spectrum of music, whenever they were getting big. Because whenever those bands got big to the point where they could be quote unquote marketed and become superstars, it's like, what was it before that? Like, literally before those bands, it was like Nirvana and Pearl Jam.
It was grunge
and Creed,
and, hard rock. Yeah,
yeah. And it's like, not that there's just anything in unbearably wrong with those bands, inherently wrong with those bands, but think about the drastic change from that to Limp Bizkit, Korn, Slipknot, System of a Fucking Down. I mean, like, maybe not as heavy, but certainly they made up for that in weirdness. You know, like,
it's like they were some of the bands who kind of brought in, I guess, I would say wave, more introspective type of music. Like, you would have, I guess, if you can say, like, Metallica and them all about being badasses all the time, like, Korn and them were like, I don't feel good about myself. And my mom shot herself in the fucking bathtub and I cry a lot.
Yeah.
But I sound badass.
I was about to say, all of those guys, what happened?
It's like, we all have emotional issues.
The 80s were badasses and the 90s was everybody feeling sad because the badasses from the 80s bullied them. And then
all because the badass from the 80s are their parents.
Yeah. And then it's like whenever the early 2000s, late 90s, these bands that came up, these guys are all the fucking drug addicts.
Yeah.
And
they're like, the fallout. Yeah. They're the fallout from the grunge.
Exactly. They were like, we are not pussies, but we are.
Yeah. It's like, it's like essentially they're nerds, they're weirdos, but it's like they make badass music. Like, that's pretty much the difference. Like I said, like the weird kids sitting in the back of the fucking room tripping out on whatever.
It's like they turned the gain all the way up. Yeah. It's like we're like Kurt Cobain and them, like they were kind of they didn't want to turn it all the way up because they didn't want everyone else to be loud. They just wanted them to listen to them. You know what I'm saying? Just listen to me. I'm going to be quiet and I want you to come gather around. We're going to do this. But when it came to these guys like Korn and Linkin Park and Slipknot, they turned the gain all the way up on the speaker and said, fuck you. You know, like, oh, fucking angry. and then Woodstock 99 angst, happened and Fred Durst ruined the 90s. So.
Yeah, because he took it from, it's like if it was introspective of the rest of the guys, Fred Durst is kind of like, oh, fuck bitches, bro. I get hoes and money. And it's like, oh. Like, he kind of made a douchebag music to keep it a stack.
Yeah. See, well, one of the great things about the bands, like Korn, Slipknot, Linkin Park, and all them, they made the way for other metal bands to, or any other band to, like, learn and adapt to make things better, which is especially like System of a Down and Linkin Park.
Those bands were definitely gateway bands, hands down, without a shadow of a doubt. I mean, for as much grief as we give Hot Topic, I mean, it'd be foolish to assume that you didn't used to get like lit when you went in there. And whenever it used to, once upon a time, there was this moment where like you would cross over from like you would actually see a band's merch in there that you saw live. And it's like their merch wasn't in there when you saw them, but it's like a couple of months later, they were big enough to where their merch was in Hot Topic. That shit was cool. You know, like, and those bands only exist. Like I said, Hot Topic only exists because of those bands such as Korn, Disturbed, you know, System of a Down, Rage Against the Machine, Linkin Park, you know, there's only so many.
I guess
more
you can say Hot Topic was really just the commodification of their bands. It was like they were probably way more cooler before Hot Topic grabbed hold of it.
It's 100% exploitation. I mean, like those guys.
Because I mean, it's like Hot Topic would pretty much, I guess, represent everything that those bands actually do not stand for whatsoever.
Right. But the good thing is for those bands, though, technically, though, is, you know, they were around before the 360 deal was. Like you were getting your, they were getting the, you know, well fed without anything to worry about because people weren't trying to mass produce the way that they do now with a new popping genre where they just chew them up and spit them out and they get as much, they milk them for everything they can. And like, even say, especially with rap music, it's like they let them die and still fucking got to get some money out of them.
Yeah.
You know, but with back then, it's like these guys probably actually were able to sign contracts that was like going to set them up with leverage for life. It's like, I mean, you think about how much money they were overpaying for like video. Think about how much it cost to shoot a music video back in the day versus how much it costs now.
Costs way more now.
Does it cost more now, you think?
I would think so. Just inflation and stuff like that, it costs more now.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But I guess it really does depend because it's like you're talking about, I think Shane is talking more so about like how Warped Tour and how a lot of those bands, like you, later on, you kind of found out a lot of them weren't really making as much money. Like Underoath and them were like touring churches and shit like that. And, you know, I think they didn't get big.
Well, of course, I wasn't making that much money.
Yeah, in comparison to like Korn.
Because Korn, Slipknot, System of a Down, Linkin Park, they were all more. They had more radio play, more like radio air and stuff like that. And vice versa, where.
Yeah, this was
bands
at
like
the time.
Underoath and like bands like Warped Tour.
Yeah, that was at the time when like new metal was the sound. Like that was damn near mainstream at the time. Because I mean, like they were coming off the time when grunge was the sound. Like bands, Warped Tour bands were pretty much, I wouldn't say that they were niche, but this was right around the time when like pop music started to get big again. I think they had like boy bands and shit coming back. And of course, hip hop was getting big. So yeah, they didn't have as much airplay.
Let's see, Korn played to the largest audience they deserve. What am I talking about here? No, I'm looking for, I was just trying to see, like, what's the largest performance that Korn has ever performed at? But this right here.
Oh, I guarantee you it's crazy.
Dude, because I know that, like, once people start getting into, like, overseas and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, if you can break into where you're the kind of person that's performing in front of, like, 100,000 people in Brazil somewhere, like, you're in a different fucking facet of society. Yeah, like, this right here is them performing in a stadium. And, like, let's see, where is this? Like, there's so many people, and this is from their world tour.
It's like, as much as Underoath and them were good at the time, I don't think they ever reached that fucking.
Yeah, this shit is in heights. This shit is in Russia.
Oh shit!
And it's just like, it's just got to be like 60,000 people or something. Like, there's so many fucking people out here. I'm trying to zoom, but everything here is just going ape shit on this website. Rolling Stone has so much bullshit on their website.
They need to feed the families, bro.
They need to feed the families. That's, especially in these hard times.
Yeah.
Anyway, so while you're doing that, Slipknot is an American heavy metal band with new metal influences, death metal influence, groove metal, however you want to say it. That was formed in 1995 by Sean the Clown, Joey, and Paul. And after several decades, and after a couple more years, they finally got their lineup they had with, you know, some changes throughout the years. Craig Jones, Mick Thompson, Corey Taylor, Sid Wilson, Chris Finn, and Jim Root. Unfortunately, we all know that Paul Gray died in 2010, which was a sad day.
He was their bass player?
He was the bass player. Yeah. And then we all know that recently that Joey died, which was the drummer.
Yeah, that's right. He wasn't in the band anymore, but he was there. He was the staple in the band for a very long, long time.
Right, right. So, of course, they got Jay Weinberg on the drums, and then they found the replacement, Alexandro Ventrilo, on the bass. And the first album was their self-titled album. But this is actually really kind of funny because their influence, Slipknot has cited that both that Korn's self-titled album of 1994 and Limp Bizkit's album, The $3 Bill of 1997, was major influences on them.
Damn, crazy. That's awesome.
Not only that Kiss was the biggest influence on them.
Well, I mean, let's look at their live performances. They're in crazy, and they also have a mask and prosthetics.
So, I mean, makes sense, right?
I mean, that part most certainly does make sense. Yeah. I'm assuming that that's what they meant, unless they're like, you know, there's this one riff that really just had me fucking going.
Of course, we know Slipknot's lyrics are always aggressive, always include profanity. They talk about darkness, nihilism, anger, disaffection, love, on the topics of that. And, of course, we know that they have their own freaking festival every year that brings out, like, 100 million people to each festival.
Yeah, Knot Fest.
Yeah, which I would really love to go one day to a Knot Fest. I'm just saying. I'd love to see Slipknot live, and they always have great people at their performances. I know throughout several years they have brought bands from overseas to perform. I know they brought one called Maximum the Hormone from Japan, which is a really great, like, eccentric metal band that goes anywhere between hardcore to metal to punk within the same riff.
Oh, that's awesome. You'll be happy to know that I was just about to say something. But you were talking about Knot Fest.
Right.
And then what'd you say right after you said was talking about Knot Fest? You said you were saying they brought out a band.
I said, of course we know Knot Fest is a big festival. And of course, one thing I like about it is they bring other bands from overseas to it. And that right. I actually would love to go see.
I know what I was going to say. Steven saw Slipknot not too long ago. I feel like we talked about this though, because we were talking about the MGK thing. Yeah, but Steven was watching Slipknot whenever Slipknot was, or when, at the same moment when MGK was talking shit at the same festival. Because MGK was like, oh, at least I'm not some old man wearing a mask. I'm MGK. I'm an asshole. Okay. I'm MGK. I suck.
And of course, throughout the years, they have been able to maintain and make their way through the music music business by not only having their own clothing lines, making albums. Sean himself started making movies. Corey Taylor has his own other band called Stone Sour.
Marketable and successful band.
I like some of their stuff.
I'm not saying that they're my favorite band or anything, but I'm just saying they did see a decent amount of success, especially when back when they were don't know how much time has passed and it feels like forever. Smoking on that cherry tree, I'm deader than alive. I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that was it.
Like, that's the kind of shit he said. But the band has done okay. I mean, you still see him on festivals every now and then, I guess, when Slipknot's not active.
Yeah, and Pac, I was over exaggerating, man, because Knot Fest does bring out a lot of people to their shows just because they get a wide variety to play at Knot Fest. First of all, it's just not all like one genre. They get a wide variety to play at Knot Fest, and I know a couple of Knot Fest, they had a couple of big like R&B and hip hop artists perform there too.
Yeah. I'm almost willing to bet you Tech N9ne has performed Knot Fest at least once.
Oh yeah,
yeah, well, you know what I'm saying? Tech. Well, Corey Taylor and Tech N9ne, they're the best of fucking buzz right now.
Oh, are they really?
Bro. Tech N9ne and Corey Taylor has done so many songs together.
I bet Tech N9ne is loving that shit, dude. Tech N9ne is like been a. It's so crazy to just see him over the years, like get to do music with different people from genres like that, because he seems like the kind of person that's like, I'm a huge fan of these guys, but I don't know how to function around them. I don't understand. But I could be wrong though. I could be underestimating his people person's abilities.
Yeah. So we know that 1999 Slipknot came out with their self-titled album. That's the one that has Wait and Bleed.
You as a rag on bear mafia.
Is it Alice Eeyore or something like that?
That's dark.
I'm pulling up the list right now. Wait and Bleed, Spit It Out. Eyeless, that's what it was called. Eyeless.
Eyeless Eeyore, that's dark, man. You just came up with Eyeless Eeyore.
Sick, Tattered and Torn, Purity, Liberate, Prosthetics, No Life, Scissors, Me Inside, and Get This. That's actually the first album I listened to, and I actually really did enjoy that album. And then we move on to the probably the most heaviest album they ever put out, which is Iowa.
Yeah, yes. That's what a lot of people say.
That's that shit right there, bro.
And if you don't know, they're from Des Moines, Iowa, so that's why they called it this one called Iowa. And of course, we know that one has My Plague, Everything Ends, The Heretic Anthem, Left Behind, I Am Hated, Iowa, People Equal Shit, Disaster Piece. Oh, Disaster Piece was featured in, was it in a Resident Evil movie?
Probably. Like, given
I think it was either My Plague. I think it was My Plague.
Yeah, a remix version of it or something.
Yeah. So, I remember being in junior high listening to the Heretic Anthem and people in class like, oh, he's the devil.
Oh, my God. Saying you were the devil?
Yeah, because, in the Heretic Anthem, he's like, well, if you're a 555, then I'm a 666. Yeah. So when people just make fun of me, I just look at them and be like, well, guess what? If you're a 555, I'm a 666.
That's kind of like your middle finger to all of them.
Yeah. It's just me.
Making Maybe just like, we don't give a fuck, Boosie.
Yeah, exactly. Boosie.
And of course, you know, each member throughout their years of touring and stuff has had their own problems, like Paul, Joey, Corey, Sean, and all them. On another note, Kelly Osbourne is pregnant with Chris Finn's son.
Who's Chris Finn?
God damn it. Let me go back and look at the, whatever his name is. He's a member of Slipknot. Chris Finn, yeah.
Huh, okay. That's crazy. How old is he?
19.
He was born February 24th of 1973.
How old's Kelly Osbourne?
Probably around the same age.
Probably close. Yeah, that's a good point.
I think she's like in her late 30s.
Yeah, he's probably not that much. I mean, she is old now too, though. I don't know why I was thinking like, I'm sure Slipknot played Ozfest at some point, so I'm just thinking like, oh, you know, but Ozzy was an old man.
They're all like fucking millennials and or old millennials and early Gen Xers.
Yeah, actually, she stated that she met him at Ozfest.
Well, there you go. Welcome to hell.
Oh, I don't want you dating. I don't want you dating any of the men from the bands. Kelly!
Then, after taking a short little hiatus, they put out the Volume 3 of Subliminal Verses, which is probably one of their softer albums, with Duality, Vermillion Part 2, Before I Forget the Nameless.
Dude. That's the one I started noticing them at. Like, when I saw them on Fuse and shit, Duality was like the video where they had basically all those, I guess, the bands.
Breaking into that house.
Yeah.
Dude, that shit was nuts, bro.
People Shane will call incels.
Yeah,
he was just a building full of incels and angry, and they couldn't get sex. Yeah, but I remember that video, boys. I push my fingers into my eyes.
Yeah.
And see, I wouldn't even. I remember just looking at him like that.
And then 4 years later, they put out probably one of my favorite albums. They done is All Hope Is Gone.
Oh yeah.
Which, you know, All Hope Is Gone, Psychosocial, Dead Memories.
Psychosocial. I remember like me, Shane, and Steve like tried to listen. It was like one night at the aunt and uncle's house, but I remember we were trying to find Psychosocial on the radio. Yeah. And Steve kept making us go out to the fucking car and he's like, it's gonna come on, bro. It's gonna come on. We were out there for like a good hour. I was like, bro, let's just look it up.
I remember there was a show at the First Baptist in Summit. And one of the bands covered Psychosocial there. And yeah, Steve just pushed everybody out the way to get into the pit.
It was before there was Rosslyn, dude.
Was it before there was Rosslyn?
Yes.
I just remember Steve just pushing everybody out the way. He's like, I got to get to the pit.
Yeah, I do remember one of them shows that I went to. Like, one of those dudes was playing a riff from Duality. They were like, dun, dun, God. Dun. Dun, 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 dun. And I was like, what the hell's going on? I was like, y'all just ripping off Slipknot.
It's the only thing, dude. I'm not getting out of the car, bro.
I'm not. Yeah, but that was a didn't it have Snuff on it and all Dead Memories in my hair. Yo, I fucked with all that. Like me and James just listened to that hard.
Bro, Salt and Sacrifices out. What? Gotta get that later. Thanks, guys.
Psychosocial was one of the most badass songs of all time, dude.
Oh, dear my God.
But the thing about that, it got overplayed. Quick.
Oh, yes, yes.
It did.
It got overplayed, which kind of ruined the song it's like, for me.
It's like that was their... If the album before that was like their breakout, like this was the one where they hit mainstream for real. Like, I remember seeing it everywhere. Every time I turned on Fuse and MTV, that music was playing. But, yeah, they were big. But I love Vermillion, though. I know that's on the last album, but that was a good song.
Yeah. Like I said, this is one of my... It's probably my second favorite album just because of Gematria, The Killing Name, Sulfur, Psychosocial, Dead Memories, Butcher's Hook, This Is Cold, Wherein Lies, Snuff, All Hope Is Gone. All the songs right there, Jay, just hit with me, and I like them.
Breathing and so far. The ending of the song,
especially Butcher's Hook, because Corey Taylor does like that, that like rap scream type stuff, and he's like, it just stuck with me, and I really like that album.
Which song is it that they have that was really popular, but it's like it just starts out with him screaming? Just rah, rah, rah. I don't know what he's saying, but he it's just like he starts out with him screaming, and then it just goes into just drums like, I don't remember what the hell it was called. Oh, man. Because the only reason I'm asking about it is because Jack used to sing it all the time. And it was like, I don't know. He's like, oh, I know what it is. It's like, dun, dun, get in, dun, dun, get in. And it's like, I, oh, God damn. What's the name of this song?
Damn, I got that song on my PSP. Tangled shut and it was inside out. And I'll see before I forget.
Yeah.
I am a man before I'm an it justifies my means, bro. I'm getting in there now.
Yeah, dude. Let's go.
Yeah, that was on volume 3. Before I forget.
So that's that good shit right there, dude. I am a man for all.
That was one of the, if you watched the video, that was one of the first ones where they actually had their mask on, but you didn't get to see their faces either. Because all their masks was around their equipment, and it just showed, like, from the neck down.
Damn. Good old days.
And then we'll move on to their chapter 5, the great chapter.
Is this
the
one with, like, the devil inside and all that?
Yeah, this is the one that has the negative one, the devil and I cluster, kill pop, and goodbye. I actually quite enjoy this album. I was really excited when I heard there was a new Slipknot album coming out, and I really got into this one, especially the devil and I was a really great song.
That was a good song.
People were reacting to it a lot online.
Kill pop, it's that, look, if you don't love, I love you, you don't love me song, so I'm just going to, you know what, I'm going to have to put you down.
That is literally an incel song. The truest
form. But it's very interesting because, you know, Slipknot's, they, like, their music is very unique. They got turntables. Yeah. They come up with all these weird different sounds throughout throughout their album.
I do want to... go ahead. Go ahead. Sorry. No, Mike can wait.
And one of the things I loved about this one, it was Clown. He was just sitting there on the ground. He just flipped the snare over and he just started scratching the bottom of the strings on the snare. And he was making that. That's how the song started. And I was like, I really love that.
Yeah, they'd be outside hitting trash cans and shit.
Listen, this is what I was going to say. Look, obviously that song, Duality, is like one of their biggest songs, especially before Psychosocial. Psychosocial, like, brought them back to life. Like, it was kind of crazy. Like, and they gained so many more fans when that album came out. That was like their swan song, but really it was more like a rebirth. Same band, clearly their sound didn't change. Maybe a little bit of evolution, but like that song was so big. But I digress. With Duality, dude, that band that I was talking about, as before there's Roslyn, when they would cover this song, man, like I'm talking about, like this was like always the crazy. I don't know where they first covered it or why they first covered it, but I saw them a lot in a lot of different locations, and they would play this song at a lot of different places. Like they had like a last show in Jackson at this place called the Carter one time. And they've played they played several shows since then, but this was many years ago, and we went up there and we watched them perform at their last show or whatever. And this shit was out of this world, bro. I'm talking about like people were losing their minds. And there was like, there's like metal poles that are inside of this building because it's like an old gutted warehouse where they had concerts at. And I'm talking about there's probably like 200, 300 people inside of here. And they're performing. And it's like, you know, 2/3 of the way through their set. And they're like, we got something, you know. And it's like when they started playing, just, and it goes. They were like, we got this one song we want you guys to know. If you know the word, sing along. And he goes, it's like, is it what whatever he starts out saying? It's the only thing. I don't know what pushes us. And people are like, yeah, running back and forth to each other. And it's like they build
that
like
music video.
They build up a wall of death. There's this dude, his name is Jeff Perry. He used to play in a band called Solemn Vow. And Jeff Perry walks out with like a mask on and a baseball bat. And he just walks from behind like the drums where the lights are and stuff. And it's like, not gonna make it. And he just starts, dun, 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 bing. And he just hits these metal poles that are just in there. like disregarding anybody around. Like, but everybody was digging it, dude. Like, they had flags inside this warehouse and people were just like raging the fuck out during this moment. And Jeff Perry just was banging shit with a baseball bat throughout the entirety of this song. And
the whole building collapsed.
And everyone died but me. But no,
I always would have went to that.
I had seen them perform it several times, and of course the reception's always lit because, like, if nothing else, Slipknot was an ironic love for the scene, you know, like, because so many people refused to admit that they liked the band. It was kind of like a lot of people were with like Linkin Park and stuff, but like in reality most of them knew that it was one of, you know, say six bands that was the reason why they got into that scene in the first place, you know. Just the timing of when all of us started getting into music, I can easily say that like Linkin Park and System of a Down were gateway bands for me. So you can't lie to me and tell me that Slipknot wasn't a lot of those guys gateway bands, even though to be fair, compared to those two, Slipknot is way more over to the underground sound than any of those other two bands.
Actually, now that you think about it, I actually remember who was in Jackson and they performed it, Duality. I remember that now.
Yeah.
Because that was that show, y'all were just like, dude, go talk to that girl over there. And I was like, no, I ain't going to go talk to that girl.
Oh,
and it turned out to be Carlos's freaking girlfriend.
I forgot about that, dude.
Yeah, they set you up.
We didn't know. This was the first time we knew. Apparently, she was from Jackson, and she, I don't know. I don't know if she was I'm assuming she was Carlos's girlfriend at the time, but I was about to say, I don't know if she was or not, but she most certainly was very shortly after that. So whatever came from that experience, it is what it is. But that, I remember that night, though, because we were Shaken played that night. And I'm pretty sure it was Shaken, For Today, Call to Preserve, before there was Roslyn, and maybe
plea
like
for,
another.
A Plea for Purging.
Oh, dude, A Plea for Purging did not play that night. There's no way.
Yeah, they played that night. Because it was, because I remember For Today, A Plea for Purging, y'all, and then Before There Was Roslyn, because A Plea for Purging played last.
I thought Four Today played last. It doesn't matter.
Maybe I know we've seen all those bands at Jackson several times together.
That's what I was about to say. Like, we've seen these bands several times, so I don't remember. It gets foggy.
Probably all bleeds together at one point.
Well, and to think now, back then we probably could have pointed it all out back to back, like, oh, this, and this. But now it's been so much time removed since then that it's hard to remember. It's kind of weird. I have those lapses in memory all the time now.
Oh yeah, because I remember, because at the very end, the it was the next show we went to that it was out there. Plea did, but at the very end, I just remember the lead singer For Today coming out. He ripped off his shirt and he just started going crazy, and everybody just started murdering each other.
Yeah, because the last song that they did was that Agape song.
Agape, yeah. Oof.
It had, man, I'll never forget that song, dude. It had like the Sweet Picking or whatever at the beginning.
Yeah. One of the other shows I remember was me, you, and Steve. And I just got off work working at the mall at Santa Claus. And we drove up to Jackson to catch My Children, My Bride. And it was another band. And that My Children, My Bride show was fucking safe,
dude. How did we get to that show? Did me and you just drive up there?
No, it was me, you, and Steve.
Okay,
because
okay,
I paid for the gas and I paid for everybody's tickets, and we just walked in.
Dude, I'm trying to remember who else played that night, but it was O'Sleeper who ended
up. O'Sleeper, yeah.
Like, I never even heard of them before that night, but they ended up being a pretty damn large name band later on. But My Children, My Bride was the main reason I was there.
I've never heard of them. Then we get in there and they just fucking
wrecked.
Murdered everybody. I just remember the whole entire room turned into the pit and everybody was mad.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. It could have got a lot more violent. And you know what's funny? That same venue, later on, I ended up seeing, you might have been with me when we went there. It was the same venue that we ended up seeing A Plea for Purging at.
Yeah.
I don't think it was the same night, but I believe it was the same venue. It was like the youth room at like some church or something.
Yeah. And then I know it's totally off topic, but I remember the fucking school show we went to.
That school show was brazy, bro.
Bro, it was Carnifex. It was Maylene, Across 5 Aprils. And I think that was another band. I don't remember the other band though.
Yeah, it was Carnifex, Across Five Aprils, Maylene, and fucking With Blood Comes Cleansing, bro.
Yeah, With Blood Comes Cleansing, that's right. Yeah.
Because they had that vocalist that wasn't the same one that was in Macomb, but like this dude's voice sounded just as gnarly, but it was like more gutter rolls, like,
I just remember Carnifex had to cut the mic off every time he wanted to say a fucking cuss word.
Yeah, they're like, you can't do this, bro.
But anyway, so
Maylene, of course, was awesome because they're always.
That was my first time seeing Maylene. I was so happy.
Anyway, Slipknot, Korn, Slipknot.
But now we get to their Slipknot's newest album, which is called "We Are Not Your Kind," and this album was kind of a big flop for me, with "Unsainted," "Celebrate for Birth of the Cruel," and "Neo Forte."
Yeah, I liked "Unsainted" and "Birth of the Cruel."
Yeah. I did like Spiders and Orphan as well, but this album was kind of a bigger flop in a way because Corey Taylor had to kind of steady, like, you know, we haven't put out our heaviest album yet, but this might be it, but she's still saying that now. I don't know how Slipknot can get any more heavier. Corey Taylor's going to have to go all, like, deathcore on us or something.
What does that album sound like?
It sounds like a mix of all their other albums into one. Like some of it they bring out their turntables. Some of it's Corey just singing, and somebody screaming a lot of it. And it's just, I don't know. It just didn't really sit well with me.
I think a lot of people got disappointed because I remember seeing some dude online say, "Is this supposed to be Iowa, bro? It's supposed to be just like Iowa. It's going to go as hard as Iowa." And everybody kept thinking it was going to be like that.
Yeah, because Corey Taylor did state that they haven't put out their heaviest album yet, and he said the next one was supposed to be heavy. And
yeah, Iowa heavy.
Yeah, and it was heavy, but it wasn't like to Iowa that heavy. Point. Yeah, it wasn't to that point, and they had a lot more softer stuff in it, which on Sainted is all nothing but soft, and it's like, I would never kill myself to save myself or something like that.
What kind of bullshit is that? It's probably in your best interest not to kill yourself.
Oh, no,
we
watched it at James' house. There was some parts in it that did go hard, but yeah, it starts out with a very, like, almost opera-like chorus.
Yeah.
Damn, let me try to... Damn, no, I'm thinking about the other one. God damn it.
But I mean, I remember him saying, like, I would never kill myself. To save myself or something like that, and I was just like, it's all right.
Yeah, like, what's going on, bro? Like, what the fuck? I would never kill myself to save myself. Sounds wild.
And then Nero Forte, in the middle of it, they do like this little like breakdown, like the turntables, and it was cool. I like they used to do it.
Let's see. New Slipknot album is experimental. Has blues song. So then, I don't know. It says that it's a blues. They have a blues song. Unsainted, Insert Coin, Birth of the Cruel, Nero Forte, Red Flag, Critical Darling, What's Next, A Liar's Funeral, Death Because of Death. Nice.
And then they recently just put out last year they put out this single called the Chapel Tone Rag or something like that. And it's actually not that bad. It's actually like their first album, at least. It sounds like the first album a little. So,
you know, something else that I'd like to mention is, I don't know if bands are doing this a lot nowadays because I just don't keep up, but there is 14 tracks on this album. That's a lot of music for a rock band, or like for a band of that caliber. I mean, one of them looks kind of like an interlude, 53 seconds, but there's one that's 6 minutes and 26 seconds, one that's 6 minutes, one that's 6 minutes and 36 seconds, a 5 minute and 56 second song. Like, these are long products of music that, I mean, this is a massive body of work to put out all at once. Well, as a rock band.
They also take years, like a couple of years in between each album to do so.
Yeah, but I mean, most people take this kind of music take a couple of years, and they give you 11 songs, maybe 12, you know, and the 12th one is like a remix with fucking Diplo or something. Yeah, it's like they got somebody that did a remix of their shit. Like,
I don't know, man. I guess maybe they're like, hey, we're gonna put out an album, we're gonna make it fucking 16 songs.
Yeah, I mean, which I'm not mad about it. Like, these seem like 16 or 14 real songs. Like, it, so I'm curious. But did you say that there was some criticism saying that it wasn't their heaviest?
Yeah, a lot of people, you know, Corey Taylor stated that this album was, they say they haven't put out their heaviest album, which he's saying that now to begin with. He's still saying that now. But okay. A lot of people went under the radar. A lot of people went under the expectation that this was going to be heavy. Like, they wanted it to be that Iowa sounding heaviness.
Right.
Which it had its riffs, it had the chunk to it, but the way they delivered it just wasn't what people was expecting.
Yeah. I mean, there's always going to be critics, you know, but especially in today's day and age, people are always going to say something. I want to tell y'all something real quick. I've been, since I got this mic from Adam over at dvbehaviorradio.com, I've been using it the wrong way. I have been talking to it through the side, but that's because a lot of condenser mics, the mic is facing out. This one is facing, this one's facing straight towards my face. Like, wow. Or it's like at the tip. So I've been talking to it wrong the entire time. So that's why I probably am coming in clearer right now than I have been in months. So, you guys don't
that
care.
Makes sense.
But I had a real dumbass moment last night when I realized that. Anyway, I don't know. I feel like we were saying something before then.
I never killed myself to save my soul.
Oh, I was saying there's going to be critics either way, especially in today's day and age. People are very prone to criticizing, especially even the greatest of artists. But like, for some reason, like, I feel like it sucks. It's like, you're never going to actually get people to be like, people are too elitist. Like, there will never be the perfect Slipknot album now. Like, that'll never happen. But it's almost like, who has the perfect album? Like, even right now, like, I mean, this is a little bit out of
I think everything's going to be, it depends on the time. Like, everything feels perfect when you're fucking 14, 15 years old.
Sure.
You know, it's your first time being introduced to that music. So if a lot of people's first time was probably Iowa and they're like, we want Iowa back, it's like, it probably won't feel the same regardless. Even if it is as heavy as Iowa, you probably won't feel like it is.
Right. Yeah, no, definitely. And it's like, nobody's going to appreciate it the same way. Like, I also wonder, like, what is it? What is the ratio of people who are like, oh, I'm popping up and I'm becoming a Slipknot fan today? You know what I'm saying? Like, where have they peaked out? Like, are they picking up like new people with the exception of like,
actually, yeah. I have to say, yeah, because a lot of their, especially their big like Knot festivals.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know who Slipknot is, or they don't care for Slipknot, or.
Right.
And they would go to these festivals and they'll stick around and they'll play them like, oh yeah, I like that. And plus our the dumb fuck motherfucking MJK.
MGK,
MGK just helped put them on the map.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I would also say like the YouTube reactions to their music videos are one of the things that's probably put them back on the map too. Cause like, I remember me and you would sit back and like watch people react to, holy shit, the fucking bird is eating some dude's eyes out and all that stuff. So I think like the YouTube has kind of helped them out a good bit too. But yeah, to your point, MGK has definitely done it.
Yeah, not only that, a lot of people react in the video, especially like, I hate to use this, but a lot of, like, especially like a lot of people who are like into rap or black people, you know. A lot of, you know, they
motherfucker. Now go ahead.
I hate to use that, but a lot of them are reacting to it, and they're like, "Oh, this is sick, and this is dope."
Yeah. Like, I know exactly what you're talking about, because I've seen a few videos like that where maybe they would listen like mostly R&B or some shit beforehand, and it's like there's been, I say, with over the past maybe 2 years, like videos of people who may or may not be into that sort of music, but they gotten into it now.
Right.
So, yeah,
because people have recommended the videos, and I know one. Yeah. He listened to one of the newer ones, and he's like, "Man, that the way that guitar riff is playing, like he understood after like listening to all this. He understood. He started understanding like the riffs and stuff like that. And it was just like, well, but at least he's learning, you know." I mean,
because yeah, I mean, it ain't for everybody, but it's like, well. The fact, I guess you can say YouTube has really opened up a new genre of people.
Yeah.
Like who've kind of gotten more into it.
No, Pac-Man, MJK is not a fan of Slipknot.
mainly because he wanted to join them, man. Oh boy.
all because Corey Taylor told him to fuck
didn't
off.
To have and didn't want to be on his song.
Yeah, but
I mean, even so, it's like, I guess to a point that was earlier kind of made, even for us, like Slipknot would have been considered to be an older band.
Yeah, I mean,
like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. it was something that, like, we were children probably when they were around their peak.
We were late to the game.
Yeah.
I stated I was in junior high listening to them.
Yeah.
Like, so.
And so basically, they weren't really for our generation per se.
We just happened to adopt them into our generation.
Yeah,
yeah, you know? And it is also something just to take into consideration. Like I said, we were late to the party. I mean, we were what 10 or whatever when some of these bands were like hitting their peak, and it's like our parents didn't listen to that music. You know what I'm saying? Like, so if you think about it, it's like the gap between would have been like. Honestly, what would be happening is now those bands probably would become more popular now than they were, say, for us. I mean, I guess they were like when we were coming of age and hunting down our own music like every day, like that's what we sought after was new music. And we were trying to find new music that we cared about and we connected to and we could embrace. Those bands were like on their way out the door. Whereas now the kids that are growing up now, you might could find a way if you wanted to do some social engineering, you could find a way to make that whole scene really pop. Kind of what we were talking about with music, but you could also just make it trendy because it's like, that is retro. This is what your dad listened to. You know what I'm saying? Your father went, you know,
oh, 50, so your uncle.
Okay, sure. Uncle would work better. My uncle put me on to Creed, so it's like whenever you have that those kind of scenarios, it's like there's the generation gap. It's like the gap's over because now though it's like, yo, my dad has like all of these Korn albums or all of these Disturbed, Korn, System of a Down, and you know my dad has the little boy that pisses on stuff on the back of the decals, and he's pissing on Falling in Reverse, and it's one of those little boys that's pissing on something, but he's got a flat bill on his head turned backwards, and he has a goatee, and he's pissing on a band called Falling in Reverse. It's like
those people who grew up with those bands, they consider like basically the stuff that we came up on to be bitch mate. They do.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you fucking you weirdos with your freaking tight pants?
Yeah, it's like. To be fair, like these bands that we're talking about, the original, I mean, obviously it's different, you know, different mindset, but they're like the OGs. They are quite literally the OGs of like hard rock music.
Yeah,
it's like, and they were badasses. Like they sunned all the younger dudes that wanted to put little blonde streaks in their hair and look like fairy boys.
They were the gatekeepers for the scene in a way. And they helped produce so many bands who wanted to cover that da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na riffs and stuff like that. Like you, like I hear a duality before I forget, and duality riff all the time in newer music. Like it's just how it is, and a lot of people want to copy that, you know, that distorted heavy as bass that Korn did and stuff like that.
Right. And you know, we talk about like you know, influence and stuff like that, just things culturally speaking and all that other stuff, especially when we're talking about rap, like people being household names. Or even when we talk about podcasting, like people who, like how Joe Rogan has become a household name. How many people do you think in this world, like at one point in their life, out of context to the song, went ooh wah, boom, boom, or just like ooh wah, talking about
because I mean like that
the dude from Disturbed.
Like, you had to understand, like, that music, like I said before, it was mainstream. That song came on in at the end of the fucking Dawn of the Dead movie.
Yeah.
I remember a lot of that music was featured in Dragon Ball Z movies. Korn was featured in a crap ton of movies. I think the first time I heard a Korn song was in a Street Fighter, the animated movie. The end of the movie had Blind by Korn playing, which is what put me on Korn. So it's like that music was really embedded into the mainstream of everything right there.
I mean, wasn't Linkin Park on the Matrix?
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah.
In the Saws. Yeah. Chester Bennington was in one of the Saw movies, so they used some of the music in the Saws.
I want to say that Somewhere I Belong was on freaking The Matrix. It might not be
I don't remember all I remember from The Matrix is Rage Against the Machine.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking.
Fucking Tom Morello.
Dude, you know how kick ass that would be if it was Somewhere I Belong? Let's see.
I kicked my couch when that movie went off.
With the first one or like the last?
Yeah, like once Rage Against the Machine started playing, wake up. And then fucking, I think afterwards, like Marilyn Manson came in and stuff. Like, it was wild, bro. Like, those songs were really, like I said, they were well ingrained into the mainstream at the time. That's the Matrix difference between, Reloaded. I guess, like, scene music, I think was, and I said this before, but scene music kind of started to get big. And the moment it started to get big around like 2013, 14, because I remember hearing, I think A Day to Remember song in like an MTV TV show or something like that, it died.
Yeah.
Like they did not have a high peak like nu metal did.
Right. Oh, no, absolutely. But see, and this is kind of what I was going back to what I was talking about earlier. There is so much like oversaturation.
Yeah.
Like, and this is what is kind of something that plagues every, like, there's sometimes, like, if I wasn't an artist myself, or if I wasn't somebody who's like been trying to like promote something for like the past like 15, 16 years of my life, then I probably would be like, people just should stop trying to be artists. Like, I wish people would just give up on being artists so we could actually value the ones that exist. It's like, because if everybody is a content creator and if everybody is a music maker, if everybody does this and everybody does that, it makes it more difficult to actually give a damn about trying to find like new music. Because it's like, if I know that there's just an infinite surplus of artistry out there, then eventually I'm going to just give up, because I'm like, how difficult will it be for me to find the artist that is like the one I love?
I found plenty of different shit. Just based upon the stuff that I listen to, like Spotify done threw me a few loops. But see, that's what it is. It depends on what you listen to. Like, if you listen to a lot of mainstream stuff, you are going to get nothing but like radio music,
right?
Like, given to you. That's about it.
Proper formula type stuff.
Yeah. And it's like, there's nothing wrong with it. But, you know, if you don't sit around and listen to like, I guess like those weird Radio XD channels and stuff like I used to, you're not going to find anything new.
Yeah, like I have to say Spotify has thrown me some artists that I've never even listened to, and
yeah,
I was like, okay, I like.
I told you, James. Once you open up that Midwest emo box, you start slinging stuff at you. Like,
they really introduced me to a band called Tala, and they are like new metal deathcore, and it's fucking awesome. I love
new
it.
Metal deathcore. What'd you say their name was?
Tala.
Do you know how to spell that?
T-A-L-L-A-H. Or Tala, Dali, whatever you want to call it. Yeah.
Let's see. I mean, my best guess would be Tala. Wow, they look like some punk rockers. Like, they really do kind of look like just some straight out the fuck. Who said CBGBs earlier? Was that a ULX that said CBGBs for some? Was that you? Was that us talking about that something today?
Yeah.
The T-shirts. That's what it was. I don't know if you guys knew that, but there was a venue. CBGBs was the name of it. Like, okay, I didn't know if.
Yeah. I mean, to kind of like get back to, I guess, yeah, CBGBs was like a fucking punk rock club. I think back in like the 70s or 80s or something like that.
Yeah. You name them, they played there.
Yeah. Once it got really, really big, you know, fucking America took it as like corporate. Everybody has CBGBs.
Yeah.
It went from being like, you know, cool and unknown to sold out. Pretty much.
Which, to be fair,
I mean, there isn't nothing really wrong with that. But I mean, it's to your point that you were making about like, once it gets to that point, once it gets to being like, I guess, mass produced, you're going to have everybody pretty much using the same sound over and over again.
Yeah.
Like, essentially, they go in, it gets corporate. Corporate pretty much kills it. Then they move on to the next thing. Like, they just stick with rap.
Right. Well, the thing that is interesting enough about electronic music, now that music has become primarily vocals, and, you know, you can use live instrumentation, because like there is still like a hunger for that, like a feeling inside of people, like you can resonate with. I'm pretty sure, like, I haven't listened to the new Kendrick album yet, but I'm quite sure that there is going to be an illustrious amount of live instrumentation, like raw, just, you know, probably kept in some of the fuck ups. You know what I'm saying? Like, that kind of.
The heart is literally just him like going acapella over fucking Marvin Gaye beat with some drums.
Yeah. Like, so, I mean, and it was great and it was wonderful. And he, the one thing about him that I do like though, is that he puts that kind of work into his music. I like,
yeah, I think this is easily probably like his least radio friendly one. And he said he didn't give a fuck about being radio friendly anymore.
Right. Well, he doesn't just have
doing
to.
What he wanted to do.
He definitely doesn't have to. And I'm glad that he knows that he doesn't have to, you know, like, good.
Check that out.
Like, and don't get me wrong. This, so we were talking about, I was texting some other friends in a group chat yesterday, and we were talking about the Kendrick album. Well, they were talking about coming on the podcast, like both of them were going to come on and whatever. And they were like, let's just don't talk about politics. They both, you know, very openly disagree with me on politics. I was like, look, I don't want to have, if that's not what you guys are coming on the show for, like, I personally don't have any desire to argue politics with y'all on my podcast, like, awkwardly, you know, recording. Like, it's not even live. Like, who are we trying to get over? Yeah, it's like, that's just weird. And I definitely don't want to have them in my house and argue with them over politics. You know, like, that just sounds like a disaster. But either way, I don't even care about that, because I was like, look, guys, we could literally talk about the new Kendrick album. Think about that. And then we ended up talking about it for like the next like 30, 45 minutes over text message, debating the album. And I still had not even listened to it. But the guy,
it's interesting though, because I mean, you can easily end up talking about politics while talking about the Kendrick album. It bleeds off into that shit quite effortlessly.
I don't doubt that at all.
I did listen to the new Future album.
I did too. I listened to it at work when it came out. But see, that's what I was kind of where I was
going. I only heard the one song that James had showed me, and the one that I was playing while we were playing PUBG.
It wasn't that bad.
My thing is, I personally don't really care that much about Kendrick Lamar.
We don't.
Like, it's just not I think he makes great music, but to be 100% honest with you, a lot of that music is not for me. So, but I think I still will say that I think that he is one of the best artists. And like, when he drops, like, for me, I'm not going to lie, the one thing that gets me randy is when somebody drops, nobody gives a fuck about anything else but what they did. You know what I'm saying? And that's how people are.
Yeah. Like, you're probably, because I think I'm kind of in the same boat where it's like, it took me a minute to get accustomed to his flow and the way he like sounds and like his voice and shit like that.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, I'm on board now, but I would always probably like J. Cole a little bit better.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It's because maybe J. Cole's flow or the way that he sounds or whatever. But
yeah, I will say this. One album that has been on repeat for me is We Come Home, The Kids Miss You by Jack Harlow. That has been on repeat for me the past week.
Yep, there you go. But you want to know something? A lot of people hate him.
Do people? Well, this is, it doesn't resonate with the, it does not parallel with the numbers, bro. Like, Jack Harlow's numbers are insane. Like, out of this world. Yeah. Like, he's getting way better numbers than somebody for, is this like his first or second album? I think it's like his first album.
I think it may be like, no, I don't know. Let me look it up.
It's
his second album.
I think in 2000, in 2020, he did the one that had What's Poppin' Remix on it.
Yeah.
And, that one, so,
and this is
that was his like biggest hit today. But it's like, the thing is that I already know people kind of look at him the same way they're kind of looking at the Kendrick situation, which is, I guess he has an image, and his image is kind of like, from what I've heard, the internet's boyfriend or some kind of shit. He's kind of cool and suave, and people tend to like him and stuff like that. But it's like,
and white,
I think he's trying to be more serious with this album.
White people spend money on consumer products.
Well, white people spend hip hop. We've already discussed this, Shane.
I know.
It's like with somebody else that said, like, hip hop is no longer black music, but it hasn't been that way for a good minute. Like, we talked about festivals and how the majority of people that are probably going to be out in that fucking thing is the same people you see at the fucking Travis Scott places. It's going to be a shit ton of like suburban kids.
But it's like, this is the thing. Like, okay, say, look at what Jack Harlow did on this project.
He's Mac Miller. No, I'm joking.
How many times has Kodak Black done the numbers that Jack Harlow did on this project?
I don't know. I don't fuck with Kodak like that.
I don't either. But I'm just saying, a lot of people do, allegedly. Allegedly, a lot of people.
I want to say, when he was at his peak, he was probably pulling those numbers.
Like, what I'm saying is, it's the same like smooth ride for that Post Malone guy. I mean, it's the same thing. I'm not trying to say that they got gimmies. I mean, obviously, Jack Harlow's been making music for a while. He's not
I remember seeing Jack Harlow, like, on I would say he was a little bit underground. He was with this girl named Audrey Nunez, who was making like a few hip hop, but they were more like alternative hip hop in my opinion. But yeah. See, the dude had flow. It's like, I think me, you, and T-Frost talked about it, and T-Frost pretty much like, that dude's a fucking plant. And I was like, yeah, he probably is. I said, there's a good chance that he is, but he's a plant that's good. Like, I ain't going to get mad at a plant if they can actually rap, or at least, you know, seemingly come off like they can rap. So, I mean, like, the dude is, he's good at what he can do, but getting on to his new album, yeah, a lot of people don't really like it that much. I think people are saying that he's being too Drakey, or he's like biting off Drake a good bit.
Well, he definitely sounds like Drake on that song that he's got Drake on.
Yeah. Me and James listened to it. I was like, yeah, he's got
that. That one comment was like, Drake, yeah, you got to go hard on that.
Yeah, that was the worst part about it. It's like, because I was trying to get Jack his flowers. I was like, all right, man, I'm like, you doing good. And then me and James listened to Drake on that bug, and I was like, oh, shit.
Drake was like, I'm becoming too rich for music to become relatable.
Drake was killing that.
I lost it. I was like, nah, come on.
Drake wrecked Jack. And I don't want to say that, but it's like, damn. It's like, maybe Jack doesn't need to try to go off in that lane. But it's like, so much of what he's doing on that album is that.
Drake,
it seems like he's trying to come away from like the poppy hip hop star that is basically boosting him to where he is now. And he's trying to be more like introspective, which, you know, in my opinion, like I said, I give respect to him. Like, I think he doesn't want to be put in that box anymore. But it's like, bro, that's where you got your bread from. It's like, that's what most people are going to like you for.
I kind of went back and listened to the first album with Jack, and I really didn't like it. I like the second album more.
See, okay. That's what I'm saying, because his first album was poppy, but it's like that first album is basically him just being like braggadocious. I heard somebody say his newest album was like sensitive fuckboy music that doesn't want to be a fuckboy or something.
Yeah, that's kind of what it is. Like, he talks like he's got this one song called This Is For My Side Piece. And then he has this song called Poison with Lil Wayne on it. And they
I heard that one. Wayne killed him on that. It's like,
of course. Of course. And he's got this one called First Class, which is pretty popular. He's got Dua Lipa. I like that. Yeah,
talking about basically him just like simping for Dua Lipa.
Yeah, and then young Harleazy.
I'll give him his credit for trying to, like, you know, I guess be a little bit more deeper, but damn.
What I'm trying to say is, yes, it's almost like the thing is, it's like, how hard does he have to try? All he has to do is socialize and let the label spend the money. And he can get the features, he can get the hangouts, he can get this, he can get that. It's let's see, at the moment of whenever this was written, which it says 7 days ago, Come Home, The Kids Miss You is on pace to bring in around 110,000 to 135,000 units. And it says 110,000 total likely will not be enough to give Jack Harlow the number one spot of the genre hit.
Yeah. And this is, like, it kind of sucks for him too, bro. Because, like I said, I mean, he, in my opinion, I don't know. I mean, it's like, if he's a plant, this is the first time they had a plant. Well, I guess maybe not the first time they had a plant that failed. But, I mean, he's not.
That's not a failure. 100,000 first week is not a failure.
It ain't a failure, but it ain't what they thought he was going to get, though. You see what I'm saying?
It's possible. But, like, this is the thing. Like, you've got artists like YG. Like, you've got artists like, I mean, pick one that's not in the top 10. Like, who are these people that, like, were like, Wiz Khalifa's not doing 100,000 in the first week.
And when he was at his peak, he was like, that's the difference. Like, we all know that sophomore album is usually kind of a hit or miss for people. It's kind of like, if you made that first album pop and you're amazing, well then cool, but everybody's looking for that sophomore album to see exactly where you may end up. Like, that was the thing for Drake. You know, like, everyone was like, what the hell, what was he going to do? What was the sophomore album? Was it Take Care?
Yes.
Yeah. Technically, I would say, like, you know, So Far Gone, that was a mixtape and all that shit. That would be his first work. But anyway, yeah, like, people looking at that, and Take Care did well, and Drake kind of became what he is now. But it's like, if people look at Jack Harlow's sophomore album and think, it ain't like the first one, you know, it's going to be an uphill battle for him.
Okay, Wiz Khalifa's sophomore album, just because I brought him up as an example, his sophomore album was 141,000 copies sold in the first week. And that was pre-streaming era. So yeah, that's a different lot. That's a lot.
Saying, yeah, you got to think this is different times. This is before they were essentially like selling you the artist. Like yeah. Wiz Khalifa was just basically getting on off his own merit. And that's why I keep hearing about Jack Harlow is like his personality is really the thing that's selling him. It isn't so much his music.
Right.
Or at least not now, I guess. Like I said, in my opinion, that kind of sucks. Like I like when an artist tries to grow up a little bit and do new shit.
Right.
Even if it is all sensitive, kind of want to be fuckboy music or whatever. But
oh, man. It says Future outsold. See, Future's a different breed, bro. Future, I don't understand how Future does what he does.
He is the internet on the side.
Yeah, he does. And the thing is like this. He is a prime example of like can't be canceled.
Yeah, but like, Future also gets a lot of people on his albums too.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. Like, but he's
Drake's on his album twice. So
it's a really good point.
They need to go ahead and make another one, bro. They need to go ahead and make another collaboration because that's what people really want.
I mean, shit, really, what they've done is they've taken an album's worth of, you know, music and they've either A, leaked it, B, put it on Future's projects, or C, put it on Drake's projects.
Because like, Drake's had Future,
you know, Drake does this, has done this thing before. Like, he keeps the fucking features to a minimum, or like that they're worth it if they're on there, or there's some obscure, you know, like,
yeah,
you know, shit like he did on his playlist or whatever. But it's like with the rest of these, like a lot of these features, like they have to be, he's get, okay, I've got Jay-Z, I've got Rick Ross. It's like, okay, like what, those don't count. You know, it's like, what does that even matter? Like, I bet Drake's not going to have Jack Harlow on his album. I bet, you know what I'm saying? I bet Drake's not going to have,
Bro, like
he didn't have Fetty Wap on his album.
If his sophomore album don't go nowhere, if Jack Harlow kind of dips in after this, because see, the thing is, I'm seeing a lot of people rock with him right now, but. Yeah. I don't know, bro. Like, if he's cool, if he can keep cool with like industry people and stuff like that, which it seems like he's doing, he can probably get a few features on like, you know, the next Drake album or, you know, Future.
He is not going to be on Drake's album, dude. Drake has done this historically, dude. None of the where was I Love McConan, JB Blockboy.
Yeah, like no. Well, cause see, this is what Drake does, bro. Drake comes out with singles. Gets everybody excited, and then like takes a whole another 2 years before he drops his real project. And then on his real project, it's just him. Usually, yeah,
that's exactly. How it kind of goes. And Jay-Z, yeah. and Jay-Z,
or Wayne.
Yeah, but or like Wayne. You know, he barely ever has Wayne on his albums. When was the last time Wayne was on his album?
No one.
What song?
You Only Live Twice.
Oh shit! Yeah, that's right. But that shit was mid, bro. That was some shit recorded 2.5 years ago. And it's like, really? Oh, people were supposed to just be like, man, Wayne, dude, he's such a legend. No, Wayne is a 9 out of 10 artist now. 9 out of 10 is just like, great, dude. That was mid. Appreciate it. Thank you for using the same metaphors you used.
What happened, dude?
47 and a half years ago.
I don't know, man. His verse when we got the Trizz remix got me.
It's tight. It's tight. It's the beat, though.
I said the same thing, but it ain't just that, bro. Cause like that beat is mid as fuck. That ain't no cold ass beat.
But that's Amigos trap shit though. Like, bam, I'm in this bitch with it. Bam, clam, smoking with Uncle Sam. I don't know what the hell he says. I forgot.
Yeah, James is like, who's that? I'm like, that's one of the Amigos.
Listen,
I've never listened to him. And
you know. They call him the third Migo because his name's Takeoff. But like they call him the third Migo because whenever he's not on Bad and Bougie.
Yeah.
So they started calling him the third Migo. But he's got the best ball. I don't know. Offset has really stepped up over the years. He had a good solid run there.
Takeoff,
for a while.
No, I've heard that. Takeoff is definitely the one that has the best
ball. He is, awesome. Especially if you go back and you listen to their old shit, you know he has got to like enjoy his role as the third guy. Like he must not like be because like, you know he's making not as much money as them, but he's making money. They're all rich. All three of them are rich as shit. But like he's clearly not doing like all the stuff like Offset's doing with Cardi B and Offset doing all his features and stuff. Like he is like he probably gets called for more of the mixtape features than like the album features. But he is a rapper. He raps.
Yeah,
his
but
ass
ain't
off.
Nobody. But I mean, like before we get off to the Migos, we don't need to. Like ain't no. They done. I wouldn't say they fell off, but they are nowhere near as big as they were like fucking 3 years ago.
Their courses ran.
Yeah.
That was like 5 or 6 years ago now.
Yeah, when they came out with the latest song with like cooking in the kitchen with Chop. I don't know, fucking Chop Suey or some kind of shit. But like,
dude, that shit is old news. In the kitchen, yeah, but whipping like a stir fry.
Yeah, yeah, like stir fry. I'm like, finally, everybody gets it. They say the same shit. They do the same flow every fucking song. It's like, it's a triplet flow. Like they got big off of doing that. But regardless, whatever.
Since we're on this little subject, I did like DJ Scali's one of the songs off his Khaled. Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah.
AZ Nos.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that you were what's the word I'm looking for? I didn't know you were a purveyor of fine wines in rap music.
Well, I
don't know what the fuck you're talking about, Shane.
We went down a rabbit hole.
Well, the thing is, I just say, because like that is like, to me, it's like old head rap. Like the way that song sounds, I know what song you're talking about. The music video is cool. It's all classy. You know, they're showing off their alcohol brands and all this other stuff, yeah. Blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I as someone just being, you know, this podcast is definitely going to have like dual titles, but as someone who is a very, very like casual, like hip hop historian, if you will, like I'm not very devout, but just from the beauty of the things that I've learned from just being obsessed with like listening to people talk about hip hop culture, is I've learned that Nas did not get the credit he deserved back in the day. And here, these past couple of years, he's been able to get a lot more shine than he used to. Like a lot more.
He was considered to be a fucking legend at the time, and then Jay-Z came out. Like that's pretty much what ended up happening.
Yeah, it's like Nas.
Also, I would actually probably say that like Nas was probably the J. Cole of his time. Like, if you want to say it like that, he was a very conscientious rapper, and that's probably why people were like, "Man, we don't know, bro." Like, he go hard. He be talking about some real shit, but his bars ain't like they don't hit like they should. Like,
yeah,
I guarantee you, that's what it is.
I don't think the conversation ever went that far. Poppy. I think people would be like, "Oh, well, he ain't Jay." I think it stopped there. I think most of the time, and then people just didn't want to stand on Nas, so they were like, "All right, you're right." You know, like people didn't have the testicular fortitude to just stand on, and be like, "Nah, dude, hell? Fuck you,
the nuts."
Well, I'm just saying, like, that's what I'm saying, like, because people be like, same way that, like, the thing is like the chinks in Drake's armor are way too big in today's society. Because if people don't pick on you for being a Drake fan because he doesn't write his own shit, which is the stupidest shit in the world, then they're gonna be like, "Oh, he's a child molester." Like, that is like
what the hell?
I swear to God, dude, you don't have any idea how often the internet says that he is a
groomer. No, you're talking about the whole situation. Zia kissed some girl on stage, and I don't know. Apparently, like she was underage.
It's several things. It's that, and the fact that he sent a text 11. Message to 11. Yes, and don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about, because you know you probably joined in on the joke once or twice with somebody.
Oh yeah, I know I did.
Like, my wife will not let that shit go. And like, I can't ever tell if
she's 18 now, so I guess
YOLO. I mean, am I right?
Let's go.
Let's go.
Her bad baby, I guess.
Yeah.
Billie Eilish. All right, Shane, she look older though, so I guess she can probably pull it off. But like, y'all can keep Billie Eilish. Keep her kind of. Yeah, but I mean, it sucks because it's one of those situations where it's like that started happening right during the whole political spin thing. And it's kind of like he was in a weird position because what the fuck is this 30-year-old something dude doing texting a young girl? Like, that's all. That's all that needed to be said.
Yeah.
Like, you can't. It doesn't matter. Like, 10 years ago, this wouldn't have been an issue, but it's like, nah, hell no. Like, Drake, we all know you want to fuck her. And he's like, dude, I'm just talking about, you know, life and stuff.
Yeah.
No, Drake, you want to fuck? All right, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like, I mean, clearly there was nothing there. I mean, and if there was, then we'll just get the Michael Jackson treatment like 20 years from now. We're going to be like, no, I don't believe you. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, well, he was fucking her. So
that's what I'm saying. I mean, it's like she ain't came out and said nothing. I mean, she's a pretty, I wouldn't say, like, she's vocal about a lot of stuff, so I wouldn't think she'd be like, yeah, he raped me or whatever.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I think when it happened, she came out and said something about, like, she said everybody's being weird about this. It's like, actually, it was the media being strange about it, because the media themselves have sexualized that girl more than anything else.
Of course.
And kids. like everybody was talking about how they wanted to bang, I guess the main boy, I think his name is like Finn or something. You had grown women talking about how they wanted to get at him. You had like real magazines talking about how like old girl was attractive and shit. And I'm like, these are chaps, bro. What the fuck y'all doing? Like
children.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fucking. So,
and this was the mainstream media.
All right, let's back to Slipknot porn. go on off to something that should be on the Organic Poison podcast.
Again. Per usual.
But yeah, all right, yeah. So I mean, I guess to the whole, when it comes to Korn and Slipknot, I think it was an interesting thing to put up because they are kind of, they were extremely huge for their times. And then, you know, as time kind of passed on, I guess things drifted off. It's like I had said, you know, they were older for us, even when we were, you know, whatever fucking age we were at. Right. So all I had to say.
I thought to say Slipknot and still in their.
Yeah, because I guess they have the kind of like the longevity.
Yeah. Like, I want to say they're still in the prime of their music.
I wouldn't say prime.
Some of it's hit and miss, but.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's like with Korn, like I said, I think what happened for them is just that being attached to the new metal thing is probably what kind of got them, you know, negative reactions more so than Slipknot. Even though you would say like Slipknot was probably influenced by a lot of fucking Korn's music.
Yeah. And another thing that we can definitely say is like these bands, I mean, they probably did the most they could to not play the game.
Yeah.
So it's like with it, when it comes down to it and we're like, oh, well, you know, this genre could be bigger, but it's not. Or, you know, these artists could, you know, will, you know, whatever, insert whatever scenario. A lot of these bands probably like played the most minimal amount of the game as possible when it comes down to like, for if nothing else, they held on to the integrity of nothing else. If nothing else, their sound. Like when you think about like these, think about how many bands that we know from like just say our generation, the A Day to Remembers and the Bring Me the Horizons and the insert any other sellout band here. Like those bands, it's clockwork for us. Like it's literally like clockwork when you're like, oh, well, knew this was going to happen eventually.
Yeah, there was another one.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, it was good while it lasted. You're not even mad at them. Like it, to us, it's like, it's perfectly normal. Like it's like, ah, fuck it. I get it. You know, I don't blame you. You know, you got to do what you got to do. You got to feed your kids. But like with those bands, it's like we were talking about with Slipknot. It's like Slipknot is still a fucking heavy band. Yeah. Like they still say whatever they want, they still do whatever they want. Like they are very vocal about all kinds of crazy shit in their music.
They
like they say raunchy shit, like they just say whatever, and they can get away with it because they're Slipknot. Yeah. Like there's no new band that's coming out that's going to ever reach the. I mean, I'm not gonna say ever because you know things change.
But no, do I doubt it?
I'm just saying, like even Korn, even Disturbed, like. Like there was some crazy shit that like fucking, I mean, System of Down's, I probably wouldn't even say is they're not, all these bands are like barely active, but like none of these bands are, System of a Down is very minimally active, but like System of a Down, like talks about crazy shit. Like,
yeah, but see, it's the thing is that during that time, like I said, the shit that we grew up on was different. Like, yeah. By the time we became teenagers, we started talking about, oh, is you know, like, we like them ironically, here, hipster shit.
Yeah.
And like, they're, oh, bro, you're so edgy because you listen to fucking Disturbed and stuff. It's like, pretty much that was the, I mean, you know how I'd be, bro. Like,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
It was like, that's what it was. It's like, seeing people, basically, their way of trying to dismantle that older music was simply by saying that, like, oh, it sucks because it was good. Or it sucks because it was, you know, angsty, or it sucks because it was too edgy.
Literally,
like, that was the whole thing.
Like, literally the argument I've used for Under Oath for like 12 years.
Yeah.
I'd be like, you don't like them because they're popular. Okay. Are they popular because they're good? Like, that's like always been my thing. Like, did a band sell out because somebody just decided that they wanted to put a bunch of money behind them? Or did they sell out because, you know, like they're actually a fucking great band and they just want to see how far they can take it. You know what I'm saying? Because that's two different things. Like, you know, it's just like, okay, well, was it, you know, Lucius Grange from Universal's like nephew that started the band, you know, or was it, you know, like it wasn't somebody who started. Somebody else. Yeah, exactly. They just grinded it out. You know, they made the right decisions.
I think Under Oath sold out just because they could.
I don't think Under Oath had a choice. I think if they tried to make the same music that they used to make,
people would make fun of them the same way they made, the same way their generation made fun of new metal. Like, it's that thing. It's like the younger people want to look at the old music, which is not even all that fucking old, and they'll point to it and be like, huh, so fucking edgy and all that shit. And it's just like, well, you know,
well, new metal, you're listening to is fucking edgy and shit too. What you talking about?
Well, see, I mean, it's like, it doesn't even make sense now, especially considering the fact that, like, the whole emo revival with MGK and the new pop punk movement is literally what the fuck we came up on.
Nah, bro,
so it's like, they can't even try to, like, go at that angle no more, because you're literally just copying off the same shit.
Nah, bro, the whole entire emo revival is done by MCR now. What you talking about?
Oh, my God. I heard they put out some new music.
They put out a new song called the Fountain of Decay.
I heard some of it. I was like, damn, that sounds like MCR.
That sounds just like MCR. And that was kind of, I was just like, I like it, but I'm not vibing to it.
Yeah, well, like, I wasn't that big of a, like, you should have sent that to our drummer boyfriend.
I did.
You know, he probably would have freaked the fuck out.
He said he liked it. He liked everything about it. And I was just like, eh.
See, that's what he was more on that MCR train, though. That's what I'm saying. It's like, I think me, you, and Shane, we kind of, because of our odd age, like, we weren't, a lot of the stuff we listened to, we kind of listened to older stuff. And we also listened to some of the newer stuff at the same time. So it's like, you have more of something to grab from. We weren't on that same shit where it's like, it sucks because, like, everybody liked it. It's like, what the fuck? No, if it's good, it's good.
Sure.
Hey, I got a question. Can we get a conversation about video games in before we end up getting out of here?
Sure, yeah. I guess.
I figure you guys would be. Let me go pee real quick, and then we'll start. I want to talk to you guys about something, because I want to start getting into having a conversation about. It has to do with cross platform gaming, but like on the bigger scale of it. So. Let me go piss real quick, if that's cool with you.
I swear, if this is anything with NFTs,
no, it's not. It's not a sign. It's not metaverse or anything like that. But in the metaverse.
Well, I'm over to the metaverse.
God dang it. Yeah, but
Dude, I'm not going to lie. I've been listening to that Jack Harlow album.
Yeah.
At least, don't listen to it all. I at least listen to, like, most of the songs I like. And I was like, I like it.
Yeah. Like, that's what I'm saying. It's I think it's good for what he's trying to go for. But like I said, his casual listener fan base, they ain't going to fuck with it, because they're going to be more so on the verge of like, oh, we only listen to music to vibe, bro. We want the vibes. Like, so it's like, whatever. Like, it's like they won't let artists grow. Like, that's, I think that's kind of the main issue with mainstream listeners. They don't really let people experiment a little bit.
I do got to say, one of my top albums of this year so far is not even from America.
This is some K-pop.
It is Utada Hikaru's Bad Blood or Pink Blood or something like that.
Hold on. Hold on.
For granted, this does have the Kingdom Hearts 3 song on it, Don't Think Twice, and One Last Kiss and Beautiful World on it. But the other songs are still just as fantastic as.
Yeah, like, bro, you know, because I was looking up information about her, like, after seeing that she was on Coachella and stuff like that. She is, like, insanely influenced by old school 90s R&B, yeah. Like Mary J. Blige, yeah. Monica, Brandy, and all that shit.
Let's see. That album's called Bad Mode. My bad, Bad Mode. But yeah, it's great. I'm enjoying it.
I'm gonna have to get into that.
Yeah, and then I found out that one of my other favorite bands called Angel Maker, which is a black and deathcore band that I get into. Released a new album, and it's pretty dope. But yeah. On another note, Shane's back. Good, I can do this now. Before we start the video game little conversation at the end, I'm going to say this. Within probably 2 weeks, or, you know, the weekend of Memorial Day, the weekend of Memorial, what do you want to call it?
Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, Memorial Day weekend. That's the weekend I got a podcast planned. You're going to be free, right?
You talking about me?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I'm not missing this. I'm not missing this.
Xander. Yeah. You going out of town or anything? You got family coming over?
No, not okay. that I know of.
Okay. That Sunday, I have a bracket. I have another bracket podcast I want to do. It's 100 video games.
Jesus Christ.
Freaking wild, dude.
I have 100 video games. And I'm going to get everybody else back in. And that's the weekend I want to do it. But also for that weekend, I do want to release one song off the Oblivion Project.
Which and one?
I'm thinking Sky. Because it's all three of us. And I think I'm going to release that weekend. I want to release that weekend because I want to say that weekend, me, you can finish up Kingdom Hearts 3.
Okay.
Yeah. And we can release it after we get done and then prepare for the podcast. So y'all cool with that?
Sure. That sounds great.
Also, you sent a Sky to Shane too?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Yeah. It's all three of us. Like I told y'all, I did my verse at the first. I did my verse first, and then I attempted to make a chorus. Y'all can go in and change whatever you want up.
So. I am looking forward to teetering with it.
Anyway, video games, let's go. What you said, cross-platform.
Yes, okay. So I was going to ask you guys. Okay, so there's like a list of... let me just look it up. List of cross... platforming games. Now, obviously, I'm not going to go down this whole list or anything like that, but I wanted to point out, like, there is a very limited list of games that are on the cross-platforming thing as far as, like, when it comes to playing online, right? Like, we could probably name, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of them that we couldn't name, but there is a lot of them that we can name. You know what I'm saying? Like, the ones, like, the games that you can go back and forth from PlayStation to Xbox, if you will. Something, you know, we've been experiencing lately because, like, when I play with, I mean, me and James, I know you have an Xbox. So if me and you play, we're probably playing, you know, on Xbox Live or whatever. But like, say when Xander or T Frost or whoever else that happens to have a PlayStation, we play the games and whatever. What is it going in the future? Do you think that we're going to see less cross-platform play, or do you think we're going to end up seeing more?
More.
Probably like, more.
More. More just because I know Nintendo, Xbox, and PC. I know all the developers for that, they're trying to be more compatible with each other. They want their players to interconnect. PlayStation was against it, but some of their titles are becoming more open to cross-play.
Well, and they're also becoming owned by you know, a lot of their big named games that are coming out on PlayStation are owned by, you know, companies that are subsidized, right, if not already purchased by.
Are you talking about Microsoft? The whole Square Enix with the NFT thing when they sold off Tomb Raider and Soul Reaver and something else?
Wait, what?
Yeah, Square Enix sold off their Western studios.
Yeah,
to THQ Nordic. Which they lost Tomb Raider, Deus Ex Project, and the Deus Ex and a couple other
Soul Reaver games.
And they sold it. They sold it like in NFT contract, like on the blockchain.
I don't know.
Something like that. I just know NFT was involved.
Yeah, I just know that they sold it. There's a rumor that PlayStation is trying to acquire Square Enix. We don't know how well that's going to go. I know the FTC just opened an investigation into PlayStation and the Bungie transaction, because the FTC also has an investigation into the Microsoft Activision Blizzard transaction.
Because I guess they're trying to make sure they don't fucking have a monopoly on everything.
Right. Yeah.
Damn, that's crazy.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, I don't know. Because I think, according to Square, is that they didn't sell, they didn't get the sales that they wanted from those Tomb Raider games. But they were pretty good, though.
Yeah, Square Enix, they looked at the value of each of the games, and they didn't hold up to their standards.
Yeah, so, they were blowing a fuck ton of money on those Tomb Raider games.
Like, which they were fun. They got their own. They got their own occult following anyway.
Yeah, yeah. I fuck.
But it's crazy that they, the acquisition that Sony would go for in a time like this would be Square Enix, because despite the fact that those games sell a lot, I mean, as far as like needing something to just peddle, like make money for you, is Square actually the one to do that with? I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm sure that Sony has other things, but I imagine Square Enix, for the sake of just legacy alone, is not something that's going to be a cheap acquisition.
I guess it really depends on what the hell Final Fantasy 16 does. And if, you know, Kingdom Hearts, I guess, if that would be a thing. But yeah, I kind of get what you're saying.
Only thing I know is PlayStation and Square has had a good partnership anyways, because a lot of time exclusives go to PlayStation first, like Final Fantasy, games like that, while the other consoles have to wait, PC has to wait. So we'll just see how it goes from there. But one last thing I want to talk about is, did y'all see that Master Chief had sex in the new Halo series?
No, I just didn't way. Even. Yeah, I know. Yeah. You sent me a text and I was just like, fuck. Yeah, it's like a lot of people pissed off about it. It's one of those things where it's like, apparently they got the rights to make the show from the game or whatever, but the people, like, they didn't play the games. They read the books. And it's just, it's the same shit we keep seeing over and over and over again. Like, they want to get a franchise. They insult the fans of the franchise. And they're like, we're doing all thing. Apparently, it's not canon, so I don't know why the fuck it matters anyway. But
that's right, man. That's right. John had sex. That's not my fucking chief.
Yeah, apparently, some dude was talking about it. I think the guy, some YouTuber named Ordinary Gamer, but he was rolling out on it. He was saying that, like, the John had a freaking chip inside of his back or inside of his spine that takes away his emotions, and he ripped the thing out, and the chick he's having sex with is like a covenant queen or something. And I'm just like, man, what the fuck?
I don't know anything about it. I just saw it and I was like, wow. And then I looked at the comments and everybody was so pissed.
Yeah, he took his mask. People were mad about that. People were talking about the CGI, saying how it looked trash in some spots, which it did. It was pretty bad.
Dude, yeah, I've seen it on Instagram that people are not happy with the show in general.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Which is kind of sad. But the fact that they were having sex is
it's weird.
It's weird. Funny if he like pressed a button by his waist and it just opened up a compartment where his cock came out.
Penis just slid out.
No, he took off the armor and everything, and he laid. I seen a picture of it. And he was laying down with this woman. I don't know anything about it. I have Paramount, but I just haven't watched it.
And now I got rid of Paramount.
I haven't watched it. I thought about it, but as being a fan of the Halo series, I already know that the TV show is not going to hold my attention, and yeah, I'm going to judge it for what, you know, judge it. So like, I don't want to watch it.
One of the only things I've seen recently that has been able to like hold the franchise and keep to the fans while bringing in new fans is Scream 5. That was literally it. Everything else is just kind of like, it seems like they're just trying to piss people off or whatever.
Well, I mean, Scream also did that TV show that was on MTV that was kind of, it was all right, but kind of bad at the same time.
Yeah, people hated the fucking.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so during the sex scene, he's thinking of Cortana.
Are you serious?
I swear to God. It's just, it's got Cortana like looking all sad and shit. You got to be kidding me.
This is ridiculous.
And not to mention, look, I don't know if we've talked about this before, like if I've noticed it and just never mentioned it before, or just noticed it and forgot that I mentioned it. This guy who is playing Master Chief is like a cockhole in everything I've ever seen him in. He's like the worst person in Law and Order SVU. He is a serial rapist that shows up in multiple seasons. And in Orange is the New Black, his name is Pornstash, and he more or less like rapes women in the jail.
He's also playing Joel in the Last of Us HBO series.
Yeah, and you know he's probably going to be a rapist in The Last of Us, because, I mean, come on, this is The Last of Us. So. I can't believe that that's the guy they've got playing Master Chief. No wonder nobody cares about this show. No wonder.
All right, we're gonna wrap it up
now. I hope Master Chief wrapped it up.
Probably not. You think they got condoms then?
Yeah, you think he can? Then that's in the future.
They probably got. It's not even in the future. They say it's in a completely different timeline, separate or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, they probably got something where you just like hits a button, and it goes like sterile or something.
Yeah, because it's supposed to be still, but good point. I hate to do the whole like nerd rage, angry incel thing, but it's like I understand why people would be pissed off about it. I get it, but at the same time, it's like death threats and everything else is ridiculous. Now everybody want to clown them. Go ahead, clown them. They deserve it.
Oh man, I ain't send no death threats, but damn, that's funny.
That is just weird. It's like everything doesn't have to be Riverdale or whatever the fuck.
I'm screaming Riverdale everywhere I go.
I mean, it doesn't have to be normalized TV because just about anything you watch nowadays has a fucking sex scene in it.
Yeah. I mean, like, let's keep it said. That's why Game of Thrones got cool. Like, nobody really... People love Lord of the Rings back in the cut, but like people who like Game of Thrones just like, it's so much better than Lord of the Rings. Why? Because there's incest in it.
That's like, right. Who the fuck says that though? Nobody says that. The plot is so much easier to follow. We're not going to talk about it. Oh. We'll save it. Like we could save that
for an episode of
Morgan. We got a fan.
Yeah. Pull up tomorrow.
Starbucks, Shane.
Hey, tomorrow's Monday. I don't know if you guys got plans. We can pod. I'll tell you all about Game of Thrones. And Joe Biden.
I'll tell you about that Starbucks cup that they have.
I've only seen the first two seasons. That's the only thing I know about Game of Thrones.
And there's a lot of titties in the first two seasons.
It's a lot of incest.
I just know at the very end of the first episode, oh, guy's bigger than his sister, and he pushes the old boy out the window.
Listen, this is something I want to say. Right. I want to say this to Alex and his incest jokes. Listen, this is the problem. This is the thing. It's the same thing.
He's getting mad.
Hear me out. This is the thing. This is what people do. This is what gaslighting does and how it creates these crazy things. Like in politics.
Like you, this happened.
In politics, in common American society, people say things that are so wrong that it causes you to actually someone that you completely despise, Donald Trump, you have to defend him. Well, that's how I feel about Cersei.
Wait, how is this going?
It does. You have to defend him because of some things people say on the other spectrum of things. It's the same thing with Game of Thrones. When people say incest, oh, Cersei Lannister and her brother. And I'm like, I have to defend them because of what the show is. I hate that those two are having sex with each other. I hate their puke ass little son who becomes king and kills Ned Stark. I hate everything about that family.
But the thing is that a lot of people loved that because they thought it was subversion of expectations. Like those first four seasons, people fucking adored it, but mainly because they were all based off of the books. The last few seasons, people got upset because the writers and whoever the fucking writers, they ended up going off on some wild shit and it pissed off everybody.
Yeah.
From what I know.
It definitely did piss off a lot of people. It really wasn't anything but the last season. People definitely didn't have a problem with Jon Snow fucking his aunt. Like that was not that big of an issue. Doesn't matter. We'll talk about it on.
I mean, people used to do that all the time back in the day, I guess. It was a common occurrence.
I mean, if dude's aunt was looking like that, I mean, what did you want him to do? I mean, he's the king and she's the queen, so it is what it is.
I would have been like, come on, like we gotta do something else.
Gotta do something else.
Well, I don't know that he cracked after he found out that it was his aunt, though.
I don't know. This is you on a different nerd way, bro.
Yeah,
this is quite interesting.
I'm sorry. It is what it is. I just watched the whole show, and I watched James, it. More
you
than
should,
one.
James, you should like at the end of and throw in Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones rant.
No, we'll be. You're gonna have to get real creative with the title because it has been a lot more than Slipknot and Jabroni Man.
Anyway, guys, we're gonna wrap this up.
Hey, Slipknot won, right? I know we didn't have our final thoughts, but Slipknot won.
Slipknot won, yeah. I'm glad it's like universally we had just agreed with they won.
I'm pretty confident that like Frequent Unleashed and Twisted Transistor like clearly went hard, but Slipknot reigned supreme.
This was I would say just because of the longevity, but
Yeah, this is a huge gimme. It's not just because of the longevity. The music was longevity. The music.
There would be no Slipknot if there was no Korn.
There was, sure, but that doesn't work in these arguments because the day that we sit down and we try to have the argument about Lil Wayne versus Drake, we're not gonna be able to just say, oh, well, Drake.
I will straight up say it. I would say there would be no Drake without Wayne.
That's not okay. Korn can't win because the Beatles have to win. The Beatles have to win then.
Okay.
Because without actually, no Beatles, actually, or
I would take that back because see, Drake actually does not sound a damn thing like Wayne. They're two different rappers.
But Wayne was a big influence on Drake.
He was a big influence on Drake, but see, Drake doesn't play off of Wayne.
And
at all.
Slipknot sounds nothing like Korn.
Not really, but they do have a little bit of new metal influence.
Well, nice. That's just because that's well then Drake and Wayne are both rappers.
I feel like all three of us are gaslighting.
Drake does not sound like he's some dude from New Orleans, bro.
He has before.
Drake ain't from Houston. Everybody,
you know, you've seen Drake, heard Drake out there acting like he's on some tipping on fofo, sipping syrup. No, and he ain't.
Hold up, he wasn't sipping no damn syrup. He ain't Paul Wall.
Acting like, no pun intended with the act. But I'm telling you, listen. But
that's Drake. Drake does that for everything. He even sounds British.
Okay, yeah. And that's why he's the GOAT. That's why he would beat Lil Wayne in the verses.
Oh, hell no.
Guys, we're going to wrap this up.
Fight.
we're gonna wrap this up.
But Slipknot did, Alex, Slipknot did win, right?
Yeah, I mean, okay, I'm outvoted.
Okay,
I was more the fucking the moderator in this. So shit, yeah,
that's a good point. Slipknot. So I guess if me and James both pick Slipknot, you don't have to vote.
Yeah, I mean, you were supposed to hold it down for Korn, but you clearly don't like them because they look like incels. So
no, that's not.
Even though Slipknot fans look just as bad with their jean shorts.
Yeah, Slipknot was such incels, they wore masks. They knew who they were.
Let's wrap this up. Final thoughts. My final thoughts is Korn, they have great songs. Yes. They don't stick with me like Slipknot does. This is why I like Slipknot more. I can't defend Korn because honestly, they can go live in a cornfield for all I give a fuck. Shane.
It's the bias. Yeah. You're more of a Slipknot fan.
Well, for honestly, for me personally, when it comes to Korn, like for them, like I'm a big guy on legacy, so I have to give them a bunch of kudos because of the fact that, like we talked about, they influenced so many bands. They did, whether they influenced us specifically or we just knew of their influence, like they did influence a lot of people, a lot of listening power. They carved a lot of palettes, music palettes, but as far as like listenability and relatability and just longevity,
listenability is not a word.
Longevity, as Alex said, and just all together, and even so with legacy, Slipknot to me is leaps and bounds going to be the winner of the conversation. And not to mention they've stayed more active for whatever reason. They have stayed way more active and way more relevant when it matters the most. And they do what they got to do. And Slipknot is the winner, so I concede. my Korn flag
that I acquired, the one that you were just waving so hard.
The one that I acquired 20 minutes before the show.
Yeah.
But I do I do agree and acknowledge that there is a great thing to be said about the legacy of Korn. So
all right, Xander, closing thoughts.
I'm the moderator, so I have closing thoughts. I'm just here.
I always have closing thoughts on it when I moderate.
It's true.
I'm a different moderator.
All right,
cool. I think both bands are good. I do agree with the concept of like the legacy. Korn kind of started off, so I give them that. But at the same time, Slipknot has more lasting power. They've been able to go through every little facet. So yeah.
All right, guys, we will not be having a podcast next week. I do have to work next Sunday, so I might just do. I just might release my Elden Ring review that day. But before we do the bracket one, we'll probably do it into another pit. And guess what, guys? You gave me the artist for it this round, so get ready for it.
Who is it?
Wayne versus Drake.
Oh my god, dude. Dude, I'm gonna go ahead and make a flyer for that.
Go ahead, Joe. Go ahead.
I'm gonna make a flyer for the hundred game bracket, but I am definitely going to make a flyer.
You better not ever quote another Wayne song in your entire life after this.
Listen, I got a hill to die on. This is gonna be it. This is my time to shine. I've waited for so long to express.
How the hell do you like fuckboy music, but you ain't even that much of a fuckboy, bro?
Thank you.
Like, Drake is for the light skin
fuckboy. I'll take that as a compliment. Thank you.
You are a Cajun.
Okay.
Kind of fuckboy.
Yeah, half-assed.
Just so the listeners know who's taking whose side so they can be prepared.
I'm Wayne.
Okay. Oh, dude, I will smoke you at your own game, dude. I'm telling you. It's okay.
I mean, you win, I guess.
I'm going to go ahead and say now I have no vitriol for Lil Wayne. But, dude, listen, I wish we had a way where we could do a versus and we could just play the songs. Because we could do a 20. I would have all my little clips set up, you know, like bam, bam, bam. We could just bang it out. But
yeah, we could do that, but I couldn't stream it. So,
dude, it would be so much work too. Like, I don't have the time to sit. I mean, I do, but yeah, we would get kicked off of Twitch, and it would kind of destroy the point because if we ever tried to like market it on YouTube or something, we couldn't get paid for it. So it's all either. Good.
Yeah. So wrapping it up now. 3 weeks from now, bracket. 2 weeks from now, Lil Wayne versus Drake. And then for that bracket one, we'll be releasing Sky as a single to get everybody hopefully excited for the Oblivion project that y'all are helping me work on.
Hell yeah. All of that sounds exciting.
And God damn it, fucking Master Chief had sex!